Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Nations Bunbury. Thank you so much for lending this pulpit to me for this morning. Thank you, Pastor Steve, in his absence. I always say when the parents go away, everyone comes out to play, hey? So anything could happen today. Because mum and dad are out of here. Just joking. That was a joke. You guys can laugh. All right. Hey, Shannon and I are so thankful that we get the opportunity to be back here again. And, you thought you could get rid of us, but here we are again, back again. Thank you so much, Clem, for that beautiful piano backing. But I'm just going to get into some bit more humorous stuff from here. I am Pastor Shannon's wife and Shiloh's mum. She's that little ranger girl that was running through here just before. she claims the place and calls it home no matter how long she's been there. So if we come over for lunch, I'm sorry if she calls your house home. she's a beautiful blessing to our family. And just a bit of our backstory. Shannon and I had the opportunity from Pastor Ken and Chrissy to start up a nations expression of the church in Cambodia. So Shannon and I have been serving over there with Shiloh for the last six, seven years. And just recently, due to COVID, we came on back and we decided to have a break, which then turned into an extended stay, and now we're here for good. So, and Shannon and I are partnering in taking care of the next gen across all of Nations Church. So that's us in a nutshell. And that's why I get this opportunity to share with you guys today. So thank you for that. Where did the name Shiloh come from? Well, we just believe when we call Shiloh by name, we want to call her by something that God's, called her, something that has meaning, a name that would speak something, a certain calling over her. And so as we were looking in the Word, we saw that Shiloh, the land of Shiloh, where the tabernacle and the Ark of Covenant, Ark of the Covenant was placed for a certain period of time. It was actually called the land of Shiloh. And so when we called her Shiloh the moment she was born, we decided that we were speaking God's presence, that we were declaring that she would be a bearer of God's presence and God's presence would be found in her. That's all to tell you today that there's an opportunity in our world, in our everyday life, to be speaking something over our next generation. And my question for us today is, what are we speaking over our next generation? Are we raising the next generation well? And I'm not just talking about mums and dads here. I'm actually talking about the call for all of us to be spiritual parents. I became a mother at 18. No, nothing dodgy happened. I actually believe that the moment I stepped into my calling as a Connect Group leader of young grade 7 girls, I believe I realized today when I'm looking back, I actually stepped into a calling to be a spiritual mum over their life. Back then, I was just a young Christian, and I just got saved, just out of high school, just got saved. I think I'd been saved maybe 8 months or something like that. And my youth pastor just entrusted in me this new Connect group of girls, and all of them had come from non-Christian homes. So I was literally just in my Word, just to share with them something new every week, because I didn't know much about my Word. And so I want to pause there, and if there's anyone in this room that is disqualifying themselves today because they're a young Christian or even come from an unsaved home, I want to encourage you today that this message is for you. just as much as it is for the person next to you. You know, as long as we're listening to Jesus, he's speaking to us. Amen. And so nothing disqualifies you from being able to serve and be a spiritual father and mother to the next generation. No age or stage of life disqualifies you from this message today. And so, yeah, I just started serving and loving on these girls. And I realized that Jesus was doing something so special in me that I couldn't just keep it inside. That I had to share it. I had to give of it. I had to take of this small well at the time and pass it on. Does that make sense? And so today, let me define for you what spiritual parents are in my eyes. I see them as people that bring the hard word, the hard word of truth. Now, in order to bring the hard word of truth, you need to know your word. Amen. So I'm talking about spiritual mothers and fathers, spiritual parents that are in their word testifying of the truth and bringing those hard words into our generation. I'm just not talking about your household right now. I'm talking about walking into IGA. I'm talking about driving down the road. You know, I'm talking about the principles that you apply to your life because you've been in the word and you're out working the word through your life. Spiritual parenting, I also see unconditional love. You know, when I think of spiritual parents, I think of people who are not judgmental of, you know, that person in the corner, of even, you know, judgmental of people's attitudes or young teenagers' mouths or young teenagers' decisions. I believe that a spiritual parent doesn't ignore but just chooses not to judge and brings unconditional love into a young person's life. What do I also define is someone who would model a life that is lived from the Word. Amen? And when I talk about spiritual parents and when I use that word today, that is what I'm declaring or I'm speaking about. You know, some examples of spiritual parents would be biological parents, obviously. I'm speaking of grandparents in the room today. Do we have any grandparents in the house? Come on, come on. Yes! Yes, you guys were, like, the Lord was putting you on my heart when I was preparing this message. I'm speaking of connect group leaders. I'm speaking of mentors, new Christian mentors, marriage mentors. We're talking men and women who would get up in the middle of the night to pray. You know, I'm talking about men and women in the room who are fighting for other people's salvation. You know, this is what I'm talking about with it's spiritual parenting. There has been so many people who have been and are still spiritual parents in my life today. And they've nurtured me into the woman I am today. You know, we look at Pastor Ken and Chrissy. Now, I can tell you today that we are in such an incredible church. You know, and that doesn't come easy. It doesn't come lightly. But I've actually observed Pastor Ken and Chrissy and learnt so much from their life and how they've stewarded the call of God that's been placed on them in humility and in truth before the Lord. When I think of spiritual parents in my life, I think of a young leader that used to pick me up and bring me to youth every week. Her name was Clara, and I'm sure you guys may have met her, you know, in the early stages of the Bunbury campus becoming Nations. And, you know, I was such a baby Christian at the time, and my parents weren't saved, so I had to find a way to get to youth. And she was the easiest person to ask because she was so friendly and nice. And I was just like, oh, could we do this again next week? You know, once we got the ball rolling, I was like, so we can just make this a regular thing, yeah. And so she would pick me up just after school from my home. I'd stock up on some snacks and get ready for the night. On that drive, I remember every single week I had more questions. And I would hammer these questions at her every single week. I'm not sure if she enjoyed picking me up every week because I had so many curly questions to ask her. But, you know, she became a spiritual parent because I realized there was an establishment in the foundation of the Word and a foundation of my faith that she was actually bringing into my life. And, you know, for those of you who are also you know, in that phase of life where Christianity is something new for you, I encourage you, ask questions. If you want to build a foundation, find someone you can rub shoulders with. Find a spiritual parent in this room, maybe someone who's your youth leader or your or someone who's called you during the week as if you were new or just recently got saved. You know, get their number. And I encourage you, just ask them questions constantly. Get on the dialer to them all the time and just get deeper into your understanding of what you're actually believing. Amen? I think as spiritual parents, I also think of a guy named Ross Elford. And, man, he knows his word like a trooper. Like, every time I walk into his house, he's got these bookshelves of commentaries of the word and so many like just deep spiritual books. And I walk out of there like feeling like, man, I do not get in my word enough. and that's also a form of spiritual parenting for me because it's pushing me to be more than who I am and stepping into all that God has for me. I think of my youth pastor who revived or built a foundation in me to believe that a whole school could be saved and won for Jesus, you know. And I still have that desire and passion in my heart just to see salvations everywhere I go and a desire to see a community that's lost be found. And that's a spiritual sign of spiritual parenting in my life that he's left in me. And I feel like I still can walk from that foundation and that deposit that he's placed in me. You know, I think of Gaynor and Rhett, who have served in this church many years. And when we were in Cambodia, they were also serving in Cambodia at the time. And they sat with us as, you know, we didn't know what we were doing as campus pastors. We didn't, you know, we were just to doing what we thought God was calling us to do, but their encouragement, their support, and their walking alongside of us made us feel like, okay, we're not in this alone. Okay, we're not, you know, this isn't, you know, we're on the right track. We're not too far derailed here. And this is the spiritual parents that impacted my life along the way. And I know that there's people in the room that are doing the same or and I want to encourage you, continue in that journey of faith over the younger generation because it makes an impact. So that's what we're talking about today. And I believe that these kind of people don't just do it for any sort of recognition or anything like that. And I honestly believe that, you know, there's people in this room today who are mentoring and chasing after the call of God for their lives and believing for the next generation. You know, you're actually not going to see the impact you've made in your grandchildren until you get to heaven. You're not going to be able to see the impact you're making in that neighbor, in that person that you chat with at IGA. You're not going to be able to see the impact until you get to heaven. But I want to encourage you and champion you today. Just keep going. Just keep going. So, yeah, spiritual parents are found throughout the Word. Let's start with Jesus. He himself was a spiritual parent to his disciples. You know, this isn't a term that I'm just making up today, right now. You know, Jesus these disciples went on to take Jesus' message into the nations and started the great revival of faith on earth. You know, we talk about Paul in 1 Corinthians. He's referring to the people in these letters that he's leading as my children. He obviously saw himself as a spiritual parent of believers that he had preached to and reached, raised up as new believers. You know, I'm also looking at this one man in the Word, and we're going to unpack his journey a little bit more today, and that's Moses. You know, Moses dedicated his whole life to leading a generation, and then as one generation passed on, he led passed on God's principles to the next generation, and his instructions is what we're going to look at today. As I came before God and asked him what he wanted me to share with you guys today, I felt God speak to me about learning what it means. Us learning what it means to steward the responsibility God has given us as spiritual parents to the next generation. You see, it's not just a calling for Jesus. It's not just a calling for Paul. It's not just a calling for Moses. It's our calling today. And I want us to be highlighted to the fact today. And my message today is called Raising the Next Generation. And I hope you guys are with me, because I'm not hearing much, but I'm believing there's much. Okay, maybe there's some people maybe in this room today who've felt like they have nothing to give. You know, maybe, I could be talking to young people, I could be talking to some older people. You know, I believe that is not the call of God for your life. Everyone has something to give. Just as a baby Christian, I had something to give. Maybe some people feeling lazy. Maybe you know that you have something to give. You know that there's something God's called you to do. And maybe even in your workplace, you have this opportunity on a weekly basis. Or maybe with your grandchildren, you have this opportunity on a weekly basis. And maybe there's some areas in you that need to be revived. And that's totally cool. We're on the journey with this today. And maybe I'm speaking to a people in this room who just need some refining and refiring in this area. Maybe you're called to raise the next generation. Maybe you take this kind of word seriously, but maybe it's time to realign and refire today, and we're going to take some time before the Lord to let Him download upon us what it is we need to be hearing and doing in our days to come. But before we go any further, I just love to pray for you guys, so just for myself. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. Lord, I ask that, Lord, we would give you ears to hear, and we would have eyes to see what you're saying to your church today. Lord, we ask that you revive in us a passion for your next generation to know your word and know you well. Lord, I pray we would take the responsibility of nurturing and raising the next generation. Lord, God, we take it by both hands, and I rebuke any thoughts of having nothing to give today. I rebuke any thoughts of laziness and even selfishness of us today towards this topic. And I ask, Lord, would you repair today any hurts and emotional exhaustion that's come from serving the next generation in the past? And Lord, I ask that you would reignite us into all you're calling us to do. Lord, above all, we ask your kingdom come and your will be done here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so let's take a look at what Moses is sharing with this next generation. Let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and start at verse 1. Yeah, I believe Moses has left us some real tools here, left us something really important, keys to help us stewarding the responsibility of discipling and being spiritual parents to the next generation. And we take from this man's wisdom, and we see how we can apply it to be raisers of the next generation ourselves. Amen. So let's start reading from verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. You may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons, and all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers and has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So good. Look, we observe in these verses today that there's some strong instructions here. You know, Moses is saying these are the commandments from the Lord to you. You observe them. You fear the Lord. You hear. You observe that everything be well with you. And you observe that things will multiply. You love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your heart and all your strength. In summary, these verses speak about receiving personally and living out your own personal relationship with Jesus first. And that's my first point today about if we're going to get serious about raising the next generation, I believe it starts with us receiving personally. And so if you're taking notes today, and I encourage you to do so, because if you're anything like me, you're not going to remember it tomorrow, but you can if you write it down. So point number one is receive for yourself personally. You know, you test God out. You follow all His commands. You take on those trials before you. You stand before the Lord and place requests and demands upon Him. You go on that journey. And I believe what we receive from that is a revelation. You see, in order to walk in and give something to the next generation, we need to be walking in revelation ourselves. And we need to be standing on substance ourselves. In order to stand on substance, we need to walk out our relationship with Jesus first. And the church and a Sunday service encourages and supports our relationship with Jesus, but I believe it starts between you and Him. It starts on a Monday and on a Tuesday where you're doing your daily devotions. You're asking Him the hard questions. You're giving God the hard word and He's giving you the hard word. Amen? That's what it looks like to receive from Jesus personally. And I believe it in turn brings a funnel. It in turn brings a living waters in us. And in turn, those living waters go out from us. You know, the last thing we want to be doing is giving the next generation stale bread. You know, Matthew 10, it says, Matthew 6, 11, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we can't give our daily bread if it's not fresh. You know, I've been given the privilege of being able to, you know, minister in Cambodia, and now come back and minister here in WA again. And, you know, honestly, there's no way that I can continue this call that God's given me without receiving from Him. There's people in Cambodia that need my prayers. And if I'm not receiving from Him, you know, there's so many people that I feel like are still under my wings. You know, if I'm not receiving from Him, how do I know who to respond to? How do I know who to give a prophetic word to? How do I know who to be praying for? And I believe maybe that's a word for some of you in this room. Maybe you feel like there's so many people that you want to give out to. Start receiving from Jesus, because He will give you the words. He will give you the direction. He will give you the prayers. He will give you there will be moments in your personal time with Jesus where He will give you a download for an individual that you've been trying to disciple for many, many years. You know, think of your grandchildren. He's going to give you a word. You sit and be receiving for Him. He'll give you a word that will penetrate their hearts and change the direction and the course of their life in an instant. We need to get serious about standing before the Lord. And when I think about this conversation we're having here, there's this one woman that I want to share a story about with. And she was my maths teacher. And man, before I met Jesus, there was some serious issues going on in my life. And, you know, this math teacher, she copped it. I can tell you, she caught the brunt of all of my sin. And, you know, I hated maths. I despised maths. I thought, look, as long as I can, you know, do that primary school math stuff, I'm sweet. I don't need to listen to you. And so literally maths class became a time where I would just enjoy the opportunity of bringing humor into a room. And that was literally my endeavor, my mission field, every single maths class. And sorry for all the maths teachers in the room today. I apologize on behalf of me and all of the generations. This poor lady, you know, she copped it from me. And if all, you know, back in the day, they had whiteboards, and they turned every time she turned around. You still have whiteboards? I don't know. And every time she turned around, I took the opportunity to just bring about chaos in the classroom and ended up having not to be able to turn around. And, you know, it was just my endeavor every single maths class to bring disruption and maybe some destruction. And I, you know, it came to recess, it came to lunchtime, whatever period was next. And, you know, she would say, right, if anyone hasn't finished their exercises, then you can't go. And I was like, well, I haven't done anything. What exercises are we talking about here? And, you know, I kid you not, she would sit with me through recess and lunch and help me complete my exercises. And I was like, well, this is interesting. Because every single time I met her with this rebellion, she would meet me with love. She would meet me with this genuine respect. And, you know, it even drove me to the point where, how can I crack this woman? But, you know, eventually, it took me a year, eventually I realised there's something different about her. She's got something special about her life that I have never seen before. Because the responses is usually anger and sometimes whiteboard markers thrown at my head. This lady's just giving me love. She's just giving me joy. And this was actually the first opportunity I had in my entire life to be met with Jesus, to be given a picture of who Jesus was. And this woman actually started and ignited my salvation journey. It wasn't until, you know, at my end of my high school years where I actually said yes to Jesus and said the sinner's prayer, but I can tell you this woman was a part of that decision. Because she gave me something not of this world. She displayed to me. And I can tell you right now, there is no way she would have been able to survive the abuse that I gave her without spending daily time with Jesus. Honestly, there's no way. And I can tell you, she was a woman who received from Jesus. And I want to encourage you, anyone in this room, teachers, maybe some ministers to, not ministers, but people working with teenagers in halfway homes or in even any field of mental health, all those kind of things. I want to encourage you today, come prayed up to work, hey? Come prayed up to work. Because Jesus wants to use you. Honestly. Grandparents, come prayed up to pick your grandkids up from your kids' houses. Jesus wants to use you. He has a divine appointment that he wants to use you for. He wants to write you into their salvation story. You know, this woman, she didn't just meet me with love. Years down the track, after I shared with her I was a pastor and she nearly collapsed on the floor before me, she told me that her and her husband used to get woken up in the middle of the night to pray for me and my brother. That God would wake them up in the middle of the night, 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. She said not just once, but many, many, many times. God put us on her heart. And I just wonder, how many times is God trying to wake us up? How many times is God trying to get our attention to write our names in people's salvation stories? I wonder, because I'm a very deep sleeper and I don't wake up too much. And I I recognize that there's a position that I need to have in everything that I do. When I lay my head down, Lord, I position myself to receive from you. When I head to work every day, Lord, I position myself to be used by you. And that all comes from just standing, just sitting before the Lord and receiving from him for what he wants to use us for. Amen. Oh, God needs us to continue receiving everything we need from him so we can be spiritual parents to the next generation. Chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. I want to continue reading and get some lessons from Moses here. He said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Look, what's Moses on about here? Well, teach these words God has taught us to the next generation. Talk about these things when we're sitting in our house. Talk about these things of the word when we're walking or lying down and when we're waking up. Write them down and keep them on our hearts and in our minds. Write them down in our homes. Display them in our homes. Display them from our lives. You know, this is what Moses is talking about. And today's point to raising the next generation, point number two, is teach the word. No matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, just teach the word. Just share the word. Just give the word. Let it better be represented. You know, my Bible goes with me everywhere in my handbag. It's the most tackiest thing. This was borrowed from a neighbor because I was like, I probably need a different version. But that thing is tacky. But every time I open my handbag, every time I, you know, display it on a table somewhere, it provokes questions. It starts interactions. And I ask of you guys, what in your life, where are you displaying the word? You know, it talks about writing it on your doorsteps, writing it in your house, putting it on signs out the front of your house. Where are you displaying the word in your life? Where are you being deliberate and intentional about displaying the word of God in your life? Teaching the word to the next generations comes from conversations. It comes from being around them. It comes from sharing God's word with them. Displaying them around your home. You know, there's often in my life where I shy away from sharing the truth. And I feel God has revealed to me different things, but I'm too fearful to share them. Maybe to, you know, I might be talking to some young adults in the room today. You know, we don't want to start debates. We don't want to get the word wrong. We don't want to be judged. Don't want to be called lame, you know. And there's so many things that we're faced when we want to be sharing the word. And often, you know, mums of teenagers, you might shy away from sharing the word too, you know, to avoid eyes rolled at you, or even, you know, getting growled at like my daughter does when I turn the TV off. And, you know, there's certain things and true times, opportunities we have to share the word, but we just often, we can easily shy away from it. You know, as I was saying before, I was a youth leader of grade 7s, and I took them all the way to grade 12, and then I decided, well, might as well start again. So I started back at year 7s again and took that year group all the way to year 12. And in my journeys, I've been faced with the same things of, I don't know how to share the word with these kids. You know, I don't know how to get their attention. I don't know how to, you know, display the word in a way that's going to be engaging to them. Let me share this story with you. You know, there was one time and, oh, man, I had this word. I tell you, I had this word brewing in my heart. And, I, you know, it was back in the day when you don't get given a video for Connect Groups. You have to prepare it yourself. And so, you know, I'd been really stewing over this word for these girls. And I knew it was a little bit above, you know, where they are at with their journey of faith. But I was like, nah, they're ready. They're ready to receive this from God. They're so ready. And I just came so pumped to Connect Group. And at that time, we were running Connect Group at church. And, you know, as Myrie Church is just down the road from Macca's. But, you know, I brought them in and we were having some fun. I set up some games and, you know, things were going really well. And I sat them down for the word and they were, you know, eyes open. I was like, yes, God, we're going somewhere with this. And then one of the girls says, I'm hungry. And as a good Connect Group leader should, I just ignored the comment and kept preaching. And I continued to share the word. And a couple seconds later, another girl says, yeah, she's hungry too. And I interrupted and I just said, it's all good, girls. You know, we'll get some time. Maybe we'll go to Macca's after Connect Group. Hey, that'd be cool. Oh, okay, cool. All right, let's listen to the word again. So I started preaching again. Oh, why don't we just go now? And I said, oh, no, you know, we got to finish the word here. You know, this God's really got something for us today, you know. And one of them just said, oh, I'm just hungry. I'm going now. So she got up and then one by one, they were all like, yeah, I'm hungry too. I'm going to Macca's too. Within seconds there, I was preaching to an empty room. And I God had given me this word. So I just continued preaching to an empty room. And, you know, my youth pastor had always taught me if no one rocks up to Connect Group, you still got to deliver the word. So I was obedient to that. And I just kept sharing the word. And I swear every chair got saved in that room. That was, you know, you touch it and you feel the presence. No. But honestly, I just want to say that there's maybe some people in this room today feel like they're preaching to an empty room. You know, maybe that you've been teaching the word. And when I say teach the word, I'm not talking about a stage and a microphone. This is just an opportunity I get, but we all get it every day. Maybe you feel like you've been sharing the word with your teenager. You've been sharing the word with, teens at work. And you feel like you're just sharing to an empty room. And it's got the better of you. Maybe it's caused you to turn down your fire a bit, turn down your expectation, lower that flame for God. And I just want to encourage you today. I believe that our word says just keep sharing. Just keep sharing. You know, the parable of sowing those seeds. Jesus didn't say stop sowing the seeds just because there's no good soil. He just said keep sowing. He just explained that there was seeds that will be sown amongst the rocks. He was just explaining to us that they will be sown on the path. And eventually there'll be one day opportunities where we have good soil to sow into. So I want to encourage you today, don't stop sowing those seeds. Don't stop teaching the word. Because it's doing something. And it's better than nothing. And I want to encourage you today, if it's, brought discouragement in your heart. Maybe today God's speaking to you about reigniting again. And just brushing off that discouragement. And stepping back into the calling he has for you. This roof's going to blow off in a second. Could be my preaching or just the wind. You know, Moses' instructions was to teach no matter what we're doing or where we are or how we do it, just keep teaching. And, you know, I can testify today that some of the girls in that room may not be with the Lord today, may not be walking with the Lord today, but I can tell you that they're walking around with truths in their hearts and they know exactly how to come to the Lord and they know exactly how much God loves them, because I did not withdraw from giving them the whole gospel and the whole truth, no matter how receptive they were. And, you know, there's of all the young girls I discipled, there's probably only two that I know of that are walking with Jesus today. But that truth remains, that that the truth is in their heart, the word is in their heart. And, you know, a year ago I received this message from one of them today, and I can testify to you why we just keep going. And it says this: "Hey, Tino." Back then that was my nickname, Tino. I'll share with you another day where that came from. She said, "I promise you though, I still and will always believe in the God you introduced to me. You can tell that I live a much different life now, but I still pray to him almost every night. And I mean that when I say it. One thing she enjoyed a bit of different language. One thing you taught me is I can always turn to him, always through any situation. That's why I'm still here today, learning and pushing through life." And sometimes you don't always hear those messages and testimonies, but I can tell you that they're in the hearts of the lives that you're impacting. And that's why we just keep going and push past any sort of discouragement. You know, there's a broken and hurting generation outside these walls. You know, and some of them are going to start, and I believe in my heart, are going to start entering this church. And I believe that as the Lord's army, we need to be available and ready to disciple the next generation that is about to come through these walls. You know, I believe that, you know, there's young people that maybe are waking up this morning from a hangover. You know, there's maybe young people in hospitals today but that don't have the self-worth that we've received from Jesus. You know, and I believe that the time is now to be revived in his church, revived this morning to believe again and to be available to see his kingdom come. And I had some, you know, really special moments with these girls. I had some really special moments with them, and you're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs, but it's about being available. You know, I don't think it's about whether we have time, whether there's someone that around us that needs our support. If you make yourself available, God will bring the right people along for you to be discipling. And for me, every time I step into that sphere and opportunity in my life, I believe it's the working outworking of John 10:10, of that fullness of life. And I honestly believe that the opportunities I've had to disciple these young girls and even just share the word in any sphere of life, it brings me great joy and that fulfillment of life, the fullness of life that Jesus was talking about to his disciples in John 10:10. Lastly, Deuteronomy 6, we're up to verse 10. Moses continues, and for the sake of time, I won't read through it today, but Moses continues with his instructions to the generation that was sharing on how to raise the generation to come. And he spoke a lot in these last few verses from verses 10 to 19 of, "You shall do this and you shall not do this." You know, and in summary, I'd love to propose to you today that the third thing that we need to persevere in and walk in raising the next generation is actually living the word completely. You know, there's a world outside that is so confused. And until we start living the word completely, we're just going to create more confusion for them. And there's moments in our lives where God's calling us to draw a line in the sand and say, "No more of that. This is my conviction. This is my calling." He's going to revive and refine and even deliver us revelations that are going to be line in the sand moments. And we're going to step into a greater calling that he has for us, in which the next generation can receive from and receive great clarity from instead of confusion. And the last thing that this society needs is more confusion, amen. you know, something that I believe is this is actually a call for homes. What are we doing to live out our relationship with Jesus completely in our home? I'm not just talking about mums and dads. I'm also talking about friends that are housemates. How are you utilizing the mission field you have in your home right now? Maybe your housemates saved, unsaved. Maybe you're all believers. Come on, let's start prayer meetings. Let's start Bible studies in our homes. Let's start living out completely what we see on a Sunday and on what's in our hearts in our relationship with Him. You know, I love it. Shiloh was about 2 and we used to leave her home with a nanny while Shannon and I would go to work and we were serving in Cambodia as pastors back then. And I would come home and Shiloh and our housemate were in the middle of a praise party. And, you know, this was just a typical situation in our home, and it still is, because I believe that when we come here and we praise, I don't want Shiloh to feel like, why do we just do that in church and we never do it at home? I don't want to create confusion in my daughter's life. You know, we praise here because He is King and He is Lord, and we do the same in our home. And that's my personal conviction, that everything I believe in, everything I live out from my relationship with Jesus is something I want to see in my home as well. You know, I want to invite the worship team to come join me here, but you know, I also believe that praying for the sick and seeing people healed is something, a conviction in my heart and a belief in my heart to know that this is who Jesus is, and I want to live it out completely. I don't want to leave confusion anywhere. And, you know, it's something that we've been teaching Shiloh along the way. And I know you guys knew that I had my appendix out recently. I had a bit of a scare and ended up in hospital and realized it was appendicitis and my appendix nearly burst. And I got home from the hospital and I was in, you know, kind of recovery mode. I couldn't really move much. And I think it was touching Shiloh a little bit. She was a little worried. Oh, what's going on with Mummy? Is she okay? You know, and I was just sitting there watching TV and I don't know whether Shiloh was there or not, but out of nowhere, a little strawberry blonde head pops up. She just places her hand on my stomach. She says, "No more sick." No, and she repeated it. She said, "No more sick, Jesus." She said, "Gone." She was just using words that she'd heard, or we'd prayed over her, or she'd picked up. She was expressing something that was already in her heart. And I believe that's what we need to be sowing into the next generation. She picked it up from what people around her are living out. And in order to raise the next generation, we need to display to them a life of who Jesus is in here. You know, Moses was right. If you want to see the next generation living in truth and wholeness, we need to leave an example of living a life for Jesus. You see, Moses wasn't just calling together the senior leaders of the day or those mature in their faith. Nah. These were Moses' last words to all the people. Everyone. No one's disqualified from the call to raise the next generation. Sometimes I zoom out every now and again. I think, God, why is life like this? And I feel like He knew from the very beginning that in order to see Christianity lived out to its full, He needed one generation sharing it with the next. In order to see Christianity not live out an extinction, it needed to be passed on through every man and every woman to the next generation. And that's maybe why he orchestrated parents and grandparents and the structure of humanity that we live within, that he's designed. Because every step of the way, he just wants us to be raising the next generation. Through the ways that we receive from him, through teaching the word, and through living out the word in our own lives.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.